Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This show has been brewing inside me for a long time. I only do a show when I think I have the words. And finally, I have the words for this show. I'm going to draw today very important comparisons between what plants do, what humans do, what light does, and what your DNA is all about and how it connects to all of it. I'm going to draw comparisons between the centers of your body, the mechanisms inherent in your body as a human organism that can lead you to health, that can allow you to recover from disease, and that unfortunately you're barely even aware of, and your ability to participate in these intrinsic mechanisms, to develop relationship with them, that they're parts of you, is something you need to get in touch with. Everyone that listens to a show like this, everybody that searches the web, everybody that is into their version of how they take care of themselves has a perception of what it's all about. But your organ systems, when your heart hurts, when you think you've got a cardiovascular problem, when you feel you're suffering from a cognitive disorder, when you've got low back pain, when you need your think your skin is sagging and you require a facelift, when you think you have the flu, when you think you have a parasite, an infection, you rely upon the mechanisms in your body, your immune system, your digestive system, your circulation. You rely on things in your body that you understand control your health. Well, the point of the show today is really to hope to open you up to the fact that you're barking up the wrong tree. The public, all the way to the pharmaceutical companies, aren't looking at what health is really all about. There are mechanisms inside your body that suggest, if you even know how to identify them, a far, far greater capacity to regenerate diseased cells and make them anew. And the first place you have to look to respect this is probably something you've heard about since you were a little boy or a little girl in grade school, and that is the plant. You have to look at photosynthesis. Wow. There's a word you haven't heard. Not in a long time. But as grade school kids, we're all introduced to the word photosynthesis. It's got something to do with plants. It's got something to do with how plants make their food. It's got something to do with how plants grow. It's got something to do with the sun. It's got something to do with, well, plants make oxygen, and we need oxygen. It's got something to do with carbon dioxide, and we expel carbon dioxide, and plants need carbon dioxide. You remember that. But the case I'm going to make today is to beseech you to understand that what the plant and what the photosynthetic mechanism suggests has a lot to do with the potential of the human organism. That in a sense, the plant is beseeching us to hold in a high place of reverence the photosynthetic mechanisms, because it's suggesting to us our human potential. A much deeper symbiosis than your gardener may suspect. If you're new to the show, put on your seatbelt. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We're going to get into these concepts today. Listen up, whoever you are. If you're just into your radiant health, if you're diseased, if you're dying, or you think you're dying, there is always hope, because that potential is always there. Very unscientific of me to say that, isn't it? Get to the website if you can, unless you're driving, unless you just can't. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc, with two T's, Straight Talk. 338 shows. Today's show, Plants, Light, DNA, how your health depends on it. All right, that leaf, that green leaf that falls off the tree in the autumn. Well, it's not green by then, is it? It's changing colors. Color has a lot to do with our discussion today. Leaves absorb sunlight. The sophistication of a plant, of a tree. It kills me how they just cut them down here in the city. The tree's roots are wrapping themselves around the water pipes. So cut that 150-year-old tree right on down. Ugh. 150, 200, 300, 5,000-year-old trees. That branch of nature understands something. A tree is not a rock. Trees are alive. Trees have personalities. If you don't believe me, see Lord of the Rings. Go to some of the deeper forests of the Pacific Northwest and ask yourself, if trees don't have their own presence, those of you who have understand. The leaf on the tree only needs water and sun. That's what it needs. And a little CO2 to drive its life mechanism. Yes, you've got to draw certain things in from the soil, nutrients. But what I want to impose upon you is a respect for the fact that the leaf traps the energy of the sun. The leaf, the green leaf, traps the energy of the sun. That is a feat that we humans wish we could replicate. That is a feat, a phenomenon, trapping the energy of the sun, drawing in the energy of the sun to sustain life, is something that humans are generally told is an impossibility. And yet, if you study the human organism, there are many systems that suggest that human beings are potentially capable of such things, not just in fabled legends, but in the very guts of the chemistry of the cell. Absorbing light is a phenomenon that not only leaves experience, but human beings, the parts, the little microscopic things that we are made of, absorb light. Amino acids absorb light. Proteins absorb light. Nucleic acids, meaning DNA, absorbs light. Absorption of light is something we as Homo sapien do, and that is studied. Well, the reason we're not known for it, well, there's many probably reasons we're not known for the fact that as humans we absorb light. Again, if you're new to the show, this is not a poetry session. I'm not speaking etherically. In hard science, we measure the degree, the wavelengths, the capacities at which our molecules absorb light. The reason we don't think in those terms is because we don't particularly do anything special with it as far as science is concerned. And so it's observed, but it's not considered newsworthy. With plants, it's very newsworthy. And the reason is the plant, the leaf in the tree in the garden is sucking in the sunlight through molecules called chlorophyll molecules. And we know that term. If you're into health, you can't help but run into that green drink. That has nothing to do with my show today. Nothing. That's a whole other thing. Eat chlorophyll. It's good for your health. Not talking about that. Talking about the fact that all your plants with leaves absorb the sunlight. And they absorb it in a very special way. There's a molecule called chlorophyll. And when the photons of the sunlight, so let's discuss sunlight. What is light made of? Remember, light may be a particle, light may be a wave. As it turns out, light is both particle and wave. But we're going to talk about the particulate aspect to light and simply say that as the photons, the particles of light, hit the leaf, because the leaf is made of chlorophyll molecules, the chlorophyll absorbs the light. It's as if you're tired because you didn't sleep and you can't stand up and you've got to work. And so before you go to work tired, you basically sit out on the front lawn and absorb the morning sun. And when you're done with it, you're infused with energy like you slept for a week and you're ready to just knock the day out. Plants do it all day long. We can't absorb light like that. We don't have chlorophyll molecules. Plants do. And they do absorb because they have these molecules. So yet green leaf is composed of chlorophyll molecules, which have special capacities. And those capacities are to absorb light on levels we don't. There's a different degrees of absorption. But that's not what's special. That's not it. Again, if you can get to the website, straighttalk.cc, I'm going to refer to it. That will help you understand where we're going. It'll help you understand your disease. It'll help you understand where you have to go on your journey until you can bring your own absorbance to the proper levels. And perhaps you can do something magical within your cell as you bring your level of absorbance to the sufficient number. Yes. Yeah, I'm talking about Scripture. I'm talking about in Scripture. We'll talk or refer to the Bible, to the Testaments, old and new, to the relationship between light and God, to humans having it suggested to them that they are, in a sense, as they progress along their path, their holy evolution, that they may be increasingly conduits of light. But we don't have to limit this to Christianity. Most religion suggests that there's something about a holy evolution and the ability to absorb light, to become a body of light. Plants do this all the time. Plants function like this. Now, if you can, get to the website just to look at one picture. In the leaf, look at picture one if you can. In the leaf, where all these chlorophyll molecules that can absorb light, in that leaf where all these chlorophyll molecules absorb light, is a special part of the leaf. It's a very secluded, sequestered part of the leaf. It's a part of the leaf that's cut off, in a sense, or dissociated, or hidden away like a secret vault within the leaf. It's actually called the reaction chamber. It's called the reaction center. It's the secret brewery within the leaf. And when all the photons are harvested by the chlorophyll molecules, they're in search of the reaction chamber. Meaning, all the excited electrons, when the photons hit the leaf, they hit electrons. When those electrons begin to swarm like a horde, like a hive of hornets, when they begin to swarm, when these electrons pick up the energy of the photon, they're looking for the reaction chamber. So billions upon trillions of electrons absorb the energy of light and seek the secret vault. All of this is going on within the leaf. All the energy of the sun that the leaf picks up is looking to funnel itself into a special place in the leaf that scientists call the reaction chamber. Now, what happens in the reaction chamber? Yeah, you sitting there in your chair, barely able to stand because your arthritis is so bad. Or you there with your cancer. Or you there with your just plain old everyday fatigue. Whoever you are listening to the show, this is going to affect you. This is about your health. This is what you're not being told. This is perspective you have not been given. We're not on a fantasy here. This is not a fairy tale. Listen in and watch where this goes. Those photons hitting the leaf, stimulating the electrons, looking for a sequestered vault, a funnel called a reaction chamber. Those electrons are doing it for a reason, because in that reaction chamber, all those electrons become way more excited. In the reaction chamber, the energy that those electrons pulled off light magnifies itself billions of times. The leaf is a transducer and an amplifier. The leaf is an organ that allows light to get transferred to chemical energy. That's called a transducer. It converts. It's a converter. But it's also an amplifier. The leaf of a plant takes God's sunlight and absorbs it, transforms it, and then magnifies it in the reaction chamber. The reaction chamber is composed of a special type of chlorophyll molecule. There's different types of chlorophyll molecules. Some of those chlorophyll molecules are found in carotenoids. Yeah. You know that orange pepper? That red pepper? That purple pepper? Those are carotenoids. Those molecules are carotenoid molecules. Those peppers have that color because it relates to the carotenoid content. That's a variation of green chlorophyll. But the point is, that leaf with its chlorophyll molecules, its carotenoid molecules, It's a miracle enough that it can trap the sunlight. It does something more. It takes all that energy and stuffs it into a place where there are specialized chlorophyll molecules that amplify the signal thousands and thousands and millions of times. In each leaf is a nuclear reactor site. Except it's not a catabolic process. It's not a breakdown. It's a fusion center. Fusion, not fission, but fusion is what the leaf is all about. Fusion is a far more elegant process than fission, which is our atom bomb. You see, the leaf of the plant is God's atom bomb. And it doesn't destroy, it creates. Are we not a body of light? Was not the resurrection demonstrative of some kind of a light process? Light drives the entire universe. Our evolution, our spiritual evolution to the body of light. And all this is going on every single day as the leaf traps the sun. Believe me, this will relate to your symptom. So this reaction center then amplifies with this special pair of chlorophyll molecules. It amplifies the energy of the sun. And then combined with water, this energy drives the entire health of the cell, of the plant. That's phase one of photosynthesis. I won't get into the rest. That's really not the intention of the show. We have to relate this to you now. But I want you, I implore you, to develop a special respect for what plants do in the way that God designed plants. You can learn so much. We live in the age of genetic engineering. We are, in the words of the great chemists of our day, only scratching at the surface of genetic engineering. We may have mapped, we did map the human genome over a decade ago. We mapped the human genome. All that means is we understand the sequence of nucleotides in each and every gene of all the human chromosomes and many other organisms. But you know what? We don't know what they do. We don't know what they code for. Thus, we say we are scratching at the surface. 40% of the human genome is a mystery to us. 40%. I'm not talking 5%, 1%. I'm not talking about junk DNA. I'm talking about the fact that your leading geneticists today will put into the literature a good 35 to 40% of the human genome. We have no idea what it does. You got to keep that in mind. You see, you have to keep that in mind because what human beings tend to do, and not in God's image, what human beings tend to do is get cocky. They get cocky to the point where they think they understand mechanisms. Their heads get too big. If you want to understand the inside of the cell, if you want God's secrets to reveal themselves, you have to give God his proper respect. You have to put yourself before the Lord or the cosmos, however you want to look at this. For this show today. Think of it any way you want. But the bottom line is, you got to stay humble because you won't see the reality of the cell. All right, let's continue. Let's continue. And let's just remember that when you look at a leaf, it captures the sun, stuffs it into a chamber, and magnifies its power many, many, many times. Now, I put a video on. I don't think we're going to have time to go into this video. It's called The Magical Leaf, The Quantum Mechanics of Photosynthesis. Please get to the website, straighttalk.cc, and watch it. It's a four-minute video. I'm not going to go through it today. But I'm going to tell you, at about 2 minutes and 45 seconds into the video, with fantastic computer graphics, it makes it really clear. Now check this out, because it's fascinating. And I think the video will explain it better with the graphics. But at about 2 minutes and 45 seconds into the video on the website, they make it clear that when the photon hits the leaf, statistically, it's impossible to find the reaction chamber. Now, that makes no sense. I just said when the photon hits the leaf, it finds the reaction chamber, and that reaction chamber has special chlorophyll molecules which magnify the energy of the photon many, many thousands, millions, billions of times. I said that. But what I'm telling you now is the statistical probability that the photon is going to find the reaction chamber is almost non-existent. The photons can't find the reaction chambers. For every reaction chamber, there's trillions of plain old regular chlorophyll molecules. So the reaction chambers are like our stem cells in the mature adult. They're few and far between. And statistically, this video makes it clear that the photon can't find the reaction chamber. That's a problem. So the photon hits the leaf, and the photon has 50 places to go. The photon hits the leaf, and it's got 50 possible ways to go. And with those types of odds, statistically, it's not going to ever find the reaction chamber. So you know what the photon does? And here's the spooky part. The photon solves the problem by going down all 50 paths at the same time. It doesn't split up. It does something we don't understand. The photon, under the burden of having so many pathways to travel, with so little statistical probability, it's going to find the place it needs to go. The reaction chamber solves the problem magically. Solves the problem. This is the quantum physics part. This is the spooky part. This is where Einstein trumps Watson and Crick. This is what everyone's not understanding. Or forgetting, or not honoring. The photon goes down all 50 pathways at the same time. We are a bunch of midgets. We are making a terrible mistake. We are suffering throughout the world every day. Our political systems, our financial systems, our educational systems, our religious systems. Because we are not honoring God. We've lost it somewhere. And as we proceed scientifically through the genome, we're not stopping to consider where God is. And if you want to find God in the leaf, look there. Because hard science is telling us The photon hits the leaf. Statistically, it'll never get to the reaction center. There's too many pathways. So the photon does something magical. Yes, I'm repeating myself purposely. It goes down all 50 pathways at the same time. That is where you meet God. That is why we have plants. That is why we have oxygen. That is why the whole universe runs on sunlight. There is something in the natural organism of the plant that is clearly godly. Now, what does that have to do with you? What does that have to do with your arthritis? Well, I want you to consider something. I want you to consider that God may have put mechanisms, not obvious mechanisms, hidden mechanisms, within the human organism that parallel what the leaf does. That the leaf may be hinting at us, the humble little leaf. You know, the thing that we cut down, the thing that there are increasingly less of in the world? Leaves. That God, how unscientific of me to suggest this, that God may well in fact be hinting at us, that through God the leaf is asking us to take a look at what it does, suggesting that there may be a link into us. So why don't we proceed on that possibility then? Meaning, you go to your doctor with your disease, your terminal cancer, your heart disease, your chronic progressive illness that, of course, can only be managed by pharmaceutical medicine, or surgery. And that you're just going to have to get used to living with it. Because, of course, the future of your life, your happiness, your DNA, all depends upon the objective science of the men in white, who are about as ignorant as prehistoric cavemen in that sense. When you consider what the leaf is doing, truly they are ignorant. But we have given them the right to tell us, in the name of science and higher learning and all these things that truly count, we have given them the right to dictate our future and our reality. Take drugs, take surgery. You know, I deal with it all the time. This holistic game we play is only as good as it is when we, in fact, just want to play around with it. But if we get sick and we're told by the men in white that we're just going to have to live with it because it's chronic, progressive, and degenerative, well, then that becomes the monkey on our back. And that's when we forget about the leaf, if we've ever even heard about the leaf. And we forget about what the leaf does. And at that rate, we're never going to suspect that these mechanisms are at work every day in our own human organism. So I want you to consider the hypothalamus gland. I want you to consider the pituitary. I want you to consider the pineal gland. I want you to consider that the autonomic nervous system, or the electromagnetic grid of the body, is wired through the hypothalamus. I want you to consider that the balance between the on and off switch in the hypothalamus, the crown chakra, between your ears, about deadpan in your brain, about from your forehead, about 3 inches back. I want you to consider that that hypothalamus is in fact switching signals on and off all the time in perfect harmony to the environment that it receives, again, through the electromagnetic grid, meaning your nerves, meaning you've got little angel hair pastas, little spaghettis, miles of networks, a very thin fiber, fiber optic, we could say, immersed within each and every square angstrom unit of your body, all feeding electromagnetic signals into the hypothalamus, whereby the hypothalamus processes the information and spits out electromagnetic signals. It's a computer. It's God's computer. It's a computer so sophisticated, will be well beyond revelation by the time we figure it out, even to scratch the surface of it. And yet we've mapped the human genome, so we know so much, with 40% of it not even understood. When you look out into the sky and imagine the universe, it's just a reflection of what's going on within us. You know, there's a guy, Rupert Sheldrake. Rupert Sheldrake. Who's got this rap. They banned him from TED Talks. I've mentioned him before. He's got a bunch of books out. Great lecturer. One of those guys making the point that somehow we've taken something out of science without which we are being enslaved to its limitations. Rupert Sheldrake, banned from TED Talks. You know TED Talks, where all the groovy people do their rap? And he's telling us, and writing books telling us, that we're taking something out of science without which we are becoming slaves to science. We're becoming limited in our potentials. Science is being used as a tool to keep us as sheep. And for that, they rewarded him by pushing him off TED Talks. Why? Because the money behind TED Talks is the same money that wants to keep you dumb. The body is an electromagnetic grid. The human organism is a body of light. And unless you want to stay dumb, wake up to the fact that there are mechanisms, latent perhaps, but there are body parts, the hypothalamus, the autonomic nervous system, the pineal gland, so on and so forth, that if in concert with deliberate, organized processes that usually have to do with modulating the nervous system, meaning health practices that change your resonance, modulating the nervous system, aka health practices that change your resonance. But if you want to talk about the health practices and you think I mean take this special herb to detox your pineal gland, please don't listen to my show. Go. If your consciousness is that limited, don't waste your time. For those of you that understand that health is a lifestyle, gather here every Saturday from 10 to 11. And if you just tuned in listening on the radio in your car, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Because we have this powwow every Saturday, and we better have this powwow every Saturday, because it is not good out there. I am telling you, regardless of what you're not being told. We are getting sicker and sicker and sicker and younger and younger and younger. And we are being offered little choice. I kid you not. More good news, yes. Tough. We deal with this or we die. That's where we're at this point. And maybe that's okay. All your health practices have to finally change the pulse of the nervous system. And you can measure that based on the concentration of opiates that you're delivering into the bloodstream as a result of it. Every time the nervous system takes a better step, or its electromagnetic sensitivities, its electromagnetic abilities become more refined in terms of controlling the cellular chemistry. The body celebrates it with a pulse of opiates into the bloodstream. And the players, hypothalamus, pituitary, pineal. We're always given hints. If you can, picture 37. Picture 37. Those of you driving, the pineal gland is situated between two large pillows called colliculi. And it's pumped. The pineal gland is pumped. It's wobbled off the pulse of the third ventricle between the two pillows of the colliculi. That wobbling of the pineal is ultimately what changes the chemistry of the pineal. For all we know, it's where floods of the DMT, dimethyltryptamine, are both produced and deployed. Definitely, it's related to a level of opiate experience that few ever experience themselves. Definitely, this has a massive reverberation into the DNA. Now I just drew another parallel. I said that from the pineal to the pituitary to the hypothalamus to the dural system to the myofascial system. Those of you who listen to this show, listen again. These are all things I discuss all the time. And why? Because it leads to the point where the DNA changes its configurations. DNA is a molecule, a flexible molecule. It is a crystal. Its structure has much to do with the proteins that are coded through the messenger RNA, the transfer RNA. There's this whole process in there that produces the proteins that drive the human mechanism, all off the central coding of the DNA. And lengths of DNA are given the name genes. So a gene is just a sequence of DNA. That's all it is. If from point A to point B, you have a string of nucleotides, and that A to B string produces and codes for certain proteins that do a certain thing, and we identify the thing it codes for, we say that's a gene. A to B is gene number one, and gene number one gives you your eye color. Done. And this is how we proceed, mapping out the sequence of nucleotides, identifying what little parts are along the chromosome, along the line of DNA. And that's it. That's the end of the story. It doesn't go any further than that. You get the genes you get. End of story. We don't know what 40% of those genes do. So who are we to lay down the limitation of the human organism? Are we not birthed in Christ's image? What does that mean? What does Scripture mean when it suggests we are in His image? How does that relate to human potential? How does that relate to your options sitting there in your chair, debilitated? Could you consider that perhaps your disease is the product of blocked potential, blocked creative force? Could you consider that once you were a little beaming, photonic, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 year old, and somebody put your lights out, somebody took the gas out of your engine, somebody turned off your light, something happened. A series of little things happened, and they added up. One big thing happened and put out your fire. And so you don't feel there's a creative potential. And you grew up that way. And when you go down and your fire's been out that long, well, the consequences are harsh. You can't heal like that. You've got to grasp that there's a creative force. There's a dream that's no longer dreaming. That's very scientific. What I just said is very scientific. People are not the same. People are just not the same. In a sense, they're the same. In another sense, they're not the same. Come on, you've got to admit that. Right, we're Americans, this is democracy, all people are entitled to good things. But in the end, we're not the same. Some people get it, some people don't. Some people live naive, and some people get it from birth. Could you consider that perhaps there's something different about the genes? That in that 40% account for the differences of consciousness. Goodness may prevail in the end, but there is a lot of evil stuff out there. Many people that come to power rule from the dark side. So people are not the same. Most of you listening to this show today, if you ran the world wouldn't be the world. It would be a better place than it is. How do you make $20, $30, $40, $50 billion a year and want more? How? How do you make $10 million a year and want more? How can you, after a certain amount of money, devote most of your time to making more money? How? Well, maybe that accounts for the state of the world. And my point to you is that the difference in the people that comprise it may have to do with that 40% of the genetics we haven't figured out. You have to consider that, because right now you're being told you're limited. You're truly limited in your potential. Excuse me, I'm going to close the window there, cutting down more trees. Excuse me. Give me just a second. Some mandate in Costa Mesa to cut down all the trees that are over 10 feet tall. Different kind of show today. The DNA molecule is quite flexible. It's a crystal. What makes a crystal is that if you hit it with frequency, it potentiates itself. It vibrates exponentially if it's hit with the right frequency. So I want you to understand the implications of the word crystal. When we say the DNA is a crystal, what we're saying is that if through some systematic, deliberate training, if the nervous system can pulse a magnetic wave into the DNA at sufficient frequencies, at specified frequencies, the vibratory response of the crystal DNA, the vibratory response will follow an arithmetic that's exponential. It's the world of 2 and 2 doesn't make 4. 2 and 2 makes 4,000. And what might that mean to the ability of the DNA to absorb light? You see? You see how it's coming full circle? The cosmos began, in a sense, it accelerated greatly, at least, by plants absorbing sunlight. The normal human organism only hints at this. Thus its limitations. But suppose the crystalline matrix of the DNA might well, through systematic training, begin to vibrate with a sufficiency to absorb higher wavelengths, to absorb more completely. What would that mean on the response in terms of the chemistry? Perhaps the molecule, the DNA molecule, perhaps the gene it codes for, perhaps those genes we don't understand the purpose of don't ever get involved unless the vibratory capacities of the individual begin to enhance. Perhaps that's why Vedic medicine and Chinese medicine are electromagnetically based. Perhaps that's why we can't figure out to this day how they've put up the megaliths without the technologies to achieve those levels of architecture. Perhaps they were using back then tools from within that we don't even fathom because we've kept ourselves so dark. You have to consider this the next time you're told that you're terminal, that you're chronically progressive, that it's too late, that studies show that diabetes is a chronic progressive disease, that there's nothing we can do. Manage it with drugs. You have multiple sclerosis, your brain's disintegrating. Be smart, be reasonable, be rational. Don't listen to those cockamamie holistic people. Take the drug. Good science shows that that's the wise choice. It's not the money. It's not the blindfolds we researchers utilize. It's not that our PhDs aren't worth squat in the open market. It's not that we as doctors, as scientists, can't make a great living unless we enslave ourselves to the corporation. It's simply that we care. If you knew how dumb on a certain level, are you listening? If you knew how dumb on a certain level the scientists behind the drug machine are, on a certain level, on another level, they're not dumb. But if you knew in a sense how dumb they are in another level, how you can spend so much time making a drug when the human mechanism is saying, I have 15 ways to do this without your drug. If you knew how blind they are, you would get sick. You'd have to find a part of yourself. You'd really have to reach deep to find love amidst the sins you'd see them commit. And the topper is they're innocent. They never learned it themselves. They drank the Kool-Aid and they didn't know it. It's been pumped into their veins since they were born. They're proud of their contribution. Study the Lipitor guys, Michael Brown and a guy named Goldstein. Fascinating. Got the Nobel Prize. Got super rich. It's a great story. Go look it up on Google. It's one of many examples. Goldstein and Brown. Michael Brown and his buddy Goldstein. Friends from college. They invented the statin drug. 50 mechanisms. Dozens of mechanisms in the human body to keep the cholesterol regulated. But you get the Nobel Prize for the statin drug. Not Tesla. Tesla gets nothing. You wouldn't know Tesla if not for the car. You wouldn't know Tesla's name. And that's what you have to remember. That's what you have to take from the show today. When I talk about the pineal gland, the flow of the cerebral spinal fluid, the malleability of the dural tissue, the pumping of the ventricles of the brain, that the body absorbs light. Aromatic amino acids absorb light. The nucleotides, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine, uracil, absorb light. That the body absorbs light. That plants absorb light. Only plants do something special with it. They eat the sun. They live off it. And that everything from scripture to what the Eastern mystics suggest is capable in terms of human potential is somehow wrapped into the concept of light, absorption of light. And we have all these dynamic mechanisms right before us, begging us for inquiry that just might affect the crystalline nature of the DNA. And what could that mean when we don't know 40% of what the genes do? If you're confused, if you've got health issues, health concerns, if you want the real education, if you want to get put on the right path, if you're humble enough to take supervision, call this number, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Listen to this show again. Get on my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. See you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.